So glad that you are here this morning. It's good to see you. A few announcements we'll make as we get started in worship. We would like to find out first who is in worship today, and the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you like. Also, check the appropriate boxes. This gives us some information about you, and we certainly do appreciate that. Once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew, we do ask once it comes to the last person on the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. That first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Few announcements I'll make today. We are having children's time. This is for all the children that are in sanctuary today. We're going to meet right over here, right after the first hymn, just for a few minutes, have a little conversation. Also, you see several things that are listed for opportunities for the week, including a couple of changes or a couple of additions. Today at 3 o'clock, we are having the grief support group. That is meeting at 3 in Friends and Partners, which is F106. This is for any who have experienced loss. You are welcome to come and be a part of this grief support group today at 3. There will be a greeter that if you don't know where F106 is, we will make sure you know how to get there. Also, we are having youth choir, but no, all the rest of the youth activities will be for the game tonight. At the Butendorps. This is for youth and parents, so we want you to come out and enjoy. We are having several things that happen during the Super Bowl party. Not the most important is the dessert contest, so I'm looking forward to being a judge in the dessert contest. There are gift cards to be ready to be given away to anybody who wants to bribe me. That would be just fine. Any adults want to test for the dessert contest? Any takers? Yeah.
And you got a few back here.
Okay, good. All right. Also, there is an Adult One Super Bowl party here in Smith Hall. I want you to make note of that. Other things that are listed there, reminder to our youth, we are having youth bus station this Wednesday. Parent discipleship continues this week. We also have several items there for basketball, other things listed as well. Let's see, any other announcements? Did we cover them all? Going once, going twice, sold. Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us your information just a moment ago on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will come down the aisle and recognize you. Give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history or the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Psalm 19 reminds us that everywhere we look, God's creation testifies that God is alive and well, and that he is working among his people. And sometimes when we're in difficult days, we wonder, can God really understand? Does he know what's going on in my life? And the reality and the truth of that is he knows exactly, because he sent his son to live among us, to show us the way that our life was intended for. Worship is our opportunity to commune with God, with others. This is a special opportunity, a blessed opportunity. Let us prepare for what he wants to do in us this morning. pray with me? Father, it's easy on a sunny day to remember that you are alive and well. But Father, some of us this week have experienced days that have not been so sunny. Maybe they've been dark and challenging. But Father, even on those days when the sun is blocked out by the clouds, the very breath that we breathe is a reminder that you are still working in us. So, Father, this day, no matter what life has thrown our way, we will remember you are the giver of life. You are the one that gives purpose to all of us, and we will bless your name. So, Father, speak to us. Give us your words of wisdom and truth. Hear us as we give back to you our worship, our praise, through song, through prayer, through the reading of your word and the proclaiming of your message. This is your time. May your name be praised. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Come sit on the floor. I'm going to sit on the steps. Can y'all sit on the floor for me and face this way? Y'all, good morning. I'll wait to everybody that's come on down. All right. I have a question. What? There we go. Come on, girls. We'll wait for you. Okay, now everybody crisscross applesauce, looking this way. Now, what is
a bully. What's a bully?
Someone that picks on you.
Have you ever been picked on? Has that ever hurt your feelings? What did you want to do to the person who picked on you?
Hit him.
Hit him? Okay. Yes. Say please not to. That's a good, that's a good response. That's hard sometimes. What would somebody who bullies you, picks on you, says things about you, that's pretty hurtful, isn't it? They're not always nice. Let me ask you this question. Do you think they deserve forgiveness?
No.
No? Why not? They're being mean, right? They're being mean. So they don't deserve to be forgiven. Sometimes, you know, we think that. You know, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about a story today that there were some people that thought these other people were not as nice as they were not as good as they were, and that Jesus' message for forgiveness was only for a certain group of people. And Jesus came in and said, my forgiveness is for anybody. The bullies, the people that pick on you, and then they realize they're wrong and they ask for forgiveness, Jesus gives it to them. Anybody, the bullies, even you, who's not always nice to your little brother or sister, even me, who's not always saying the right things or the good things, all of us get forgiveness from Jesus, not just the people we think deserve it. Because really, none of us deserve it, but Jesus loves us all the same, and he gives us that forgiveness, even the bullies. So, do you think we should forgive people like that? Yeah. He wants us to forgive just like he forgave us. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today and the reminder that, yeah, there are some people in our lives that maybe we don't think deserve your forgiveness because they've done something so bad that they're beyond forgiveness. And maybe it's us. Maybe we've done something so bad we're not sure you can ever forgive us. Father, remind us today that you love all of us and you have forgiven all of us if we ask it in Jesus' name. And you want us to forgive everybody else just the same. Give us the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats.
A good lesson for us all. Let me share with you from God's Word, be reading from Ephesians, and we'll actually start with Luke 4, moving to Ephesians, and the verses that we will read at first, the two first verses, underline the theme that we began last week, the body of Christ. Listen for what our Lord has to say, beginning, we'll actually start with Luke and go from there. Please hear what God's Word has to say to us today. And then our Lord, excuse me, I'm sorry. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. We find Jesus going to the place that he is comfortable, where he was brought up going, just as we, many of us, were brought up going to church on Sundays. He went to the place where he found his home, and he found his place. He found his joy. He found his spirit and friendship there. He went to the place where God directed him, to be engaged in worship with other people, to be the leader that God had called him to be. We are called to be here today. We are called to be with one another. And then if we turn to Ephesians 4, and if you will look with me there at verse 11, It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are reminded again that we are all part of one another and that we need each other. We need each other's prayers. We need to draw strength from worshiping together. We need to draw strength from letting God talk to us through each other. We need the support that we gather here as the body of Christ, all of us in our uniqueness, giving of ourselves. How good it is to be brothers and sisters in Christ. The secret being the grace, the forgiveness as the foundation, with even a greater layer of love over all. Under that great umbrella, grace, forgiveness with love over all, that ties us in Christ to one another. Spiritual friendship far beyond the friendship that society gives us. What we need, we find in Christ, with him, in and through each other, as we live and work and forgive and love, support and serve together, a beautiful picture of Christ's body. And then the last section of scripture that we'll read, verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. We thank our Lord for ascending to sit on the right hand of God the Father. And I believe that when his children call for help, he stands and he leans over and he cups his ear. And he listens to our needs, and he is there for us always. So let's call out to him today. Let's go to God in prayer together. We do come to you today, our wonderful Savior. We know that you are our advocate before our loving Heavenly Father. We thank you for calling us to be the body of Christ, to serve together, to love each other, to reach out and pull others into the eternal life that is ours through and in you. Thank you for providing a way for us to have a home with you, an eternal home, that begins in us the minute that we accept Christ as our Savior. We thank you for this great treasure that we have to share. Forgive us for hoarding that treasure, for holding it close and to ourselves, afraid that we will be embarrassed if we dare to talk of such important things, things we don't often hear discussed in our world. Help us to be bold. May your light push us forth. May your strength energize us. May we energize each other and encourage each other to be strong witnesses when we leave this place as well as when we are here. Thank you for the grace and forgiveness that is ours in you, that we can share with each other. And thank you for the love that is beyond anything we can ever find upon this earth, that fills our hearts. Thank you for the great gift of yourself in Christ, allowing us to have that love while we're still here on earth. And thank you for what we have yet to enter into, that marvelous place that we have yet to see, that we see the hints of and the beauty around us. But in the fullness of it all, our hearts will be thrilled when we come home to you. But for now, help us roll up our sleeves and be the body of Christ. Help us to fill out our unique role, our calling that each of us have, to serve, to go, to do, and to be, to love, to forgive, to pray for each other, to be there for each other, and to help those who don't know you to find that well of living water. Help us, Father, to be that living water to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
We in America call this day Super Sunday. I think we as Christians should find that humorous in that every Sunday should be super to us. That we gather today on this day every week to come and worship our Lord. We'll see teams get together tonight. They'll play together as a team to win the game. We're here today as Team College Park, and we have learned, as Raymond talked about last week, that we can't do it together, do it alone. We have to do it together. I hope that we will always remember that the church is God's gift to us. And in Raymond's words, we don't have to come to church on Sunday. We get to come to church on Sunday. We get to fellowship with our teammates here. You know, our colors are red in his blood. The white of the Christmas candle that reminds us of Jesus' birth. The purple that we see at Easter. And as we all come together as a team, I hope that we'll always remember the gift that God gives us in the church. Let us pray. Father, on this day that we Americans call Super Sunday, we hope that we come together with a super heart, with great passion for your love and your gift of the church to us. We're grateful, Lord, for that gift and the gift that brought it about to us, the gift of your Son and his death on the cross for our sins. We come today, Lord, to give back to you, and we may give symbolically to the envelopes in the plate, but we also give those other gifts, the ones that go unmentioned. It might be a gift of song. It might be the gift of playing an instrument. It might be the gift of encouraging those around us, the hug for someone who needs it, the phone call that someone got this week to encourage them in a dark time. Lord, remind us that we're all gifted in some way, and help us every day to remember to give those gifts to you. Bless all of these gifts, those that we give here now and those that we give every day, that we may always bring the passion of our love for you and your love for us everywhere we go each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Beautiful. Then he preached. Then he preached. This is a continuation of last week's sermon because we were in Luke chapter 4. And while you're turning in your Bible, that's kind of a cue there. While you're turning in your Bible to Luke chapter 4, let me say I'm indebted to Thomas Long and my longtime professor and friend Charles Talbert for information and inspiration for today's discussion. And you've heard me talk about Dr. Talbert's series called Reading, and then it has the name of the book, like Reading John, Reading Luke. But in this particular case, I was actually referring back to a book that was a text that he developed with our class. Eventually, the name of the book was called Perspectives on Luke Acts, which we helped him work through and discuss through and talk through, and it's a very insightful book if you can find a copy of it. I know it's long out of print, but it's a wonderful discussion on the Lucan writings, which would be the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts. So highly recommend those. This morning, then he preached. We kind of have a hinge verse here. Luke chapter 4, verse 21 says, "And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" You remember the verses we read last week talked about how he goes to the synagogue and he reads there in Nazareth and he reads from the book of Isaiah. And it says, "And then he began by saying this to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Let's continue on from there. "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked. And Jesus said to them, 'Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy," or as some translations say, "skin disorders. There were many in Israel with skin disorders or leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, they drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." Interesting passage of scripture. We'll dig into it a little bit. Let me start by telling you a story. It's a true story. It's a story about a small Christian college, a church-related college, Christian college, which shall remain unnamed here in the Southeast, that had this annual event called Christian Emphasis Week. And what happened here is the student Christian group would invite a campus speaker, someone to come to campus to speak, who would preach several times during the course of the week and have kind of discussions, kind of open forum type deal, coffee house setting as well as some open forums, all aimed at deepening the faith and kind of creating this mood of a religious revival. That was their purpose. One year, the students at this college got a little more than they bargained for. They invited a speaker whom none of them had heard before, but they knew that his reputation was for being dynamic and exciting. Well, indeed he was. On the first night of this special week, the campus chapel was filled with the faithful. Of course, the Animal House types and the other impious students weren't invited. They were supposed to stay away. Because after all, this occasion was for the religious insiders, for the truly Christian students on campus. The speaker began that night by opening the Bible and reading a passage of Scripture. And when he finished reading that, he closed the Bible, and then suddenly he flung it across the stage and out the window, which had been prompted to be opened for him on this spring evening. Soon the Bible went flying out the window, and he looked at the stunned congregation, and he says, "There goes your God." And then he proceeded to preach a very challenging sermon on the difference between worshiping the Bible
and worshiping the God who comes to us through the scriptures. Now, when you first hear this thing, it's a little disturbing on a couple of levels, but let's kind of work through it a little bit. First of all, do we advocate throwing God's word in? And no, of course not. But he was trying to make a point. Second of all, I think the point he was trying to make is that we worship the God who is revealed to us in Scripture. And if we worship the Bible itself, then we make the Bible an idol. And that was part of his point. And it was a very timely point because this school at the time was dealing with some of these same issues. Now, do we believe God's word is true? Certainly we do. Do we believe it's the revealed word of God? Certainly we do. But his point was, we don't worship the Bible, we worship God. Now, in a way, Jesus kind of did the same thing. In his hometown there in the synagogue of Nazareth, he kind of did the same thing. At the outset, it seemed like a normal service. Jesus opened up the scripture. He read that familiar text from Isaiah. All of them, no doubt, were familiar with it, about the good news being preached to the poor and release being given to the captives. But then he preached. Luke doesn't give us the whole sermon, but he gives us the punchline. It's in verse 21, which was our hinge verse. He said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled at your hearing." And at first the congregation had the expected response. It was warm. It was enthusiastic. Good sermon. Beautiful word. Quite eloquent. You know, heads nodded, kind of a polite applause. People murmured their sin about how, I remember when Jesus was just this tall, and look how good he's preaching now. I mean, he had all of these things, I'm sure. But then a question began to stir among them. And Jesus kind of clears the air. He throws it back at them. If Isaiah's prophecy has really been fulfilled today, how come nothing's happened here? How come Jesus didn't perform any of those mighty deeds that they had heard about in Capernaum? And what does he mean today the scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing? What does he mean by that exactly? Now, don't misunderstand the beginning there in verse 22 where it says, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" That's a positive thing. That is a positive statement. You know, it's kind of one of those, "Isn't this our boy? Isn't this our boy? Yeah. This is our guy." But then it begins to turn a little bit. Shouldn't we expect all kinds of great miracles and happenings around here? For us? To us? It's all about us? You hear the message? You see, it was then that Jesus, at least metaphorically speaking, threw the Bible out the window. Their understanding of Scripture was incomplete. Their understanding of God was incomplete. They thought that Isaiah's words were only for them, for Israel, for Nazareth, for the local folks. But Jesus proceeded to throw that understanding out the window by saying that God cares for the poor and the oppressed, and that is just as much for the outsiders as it was for the insiders. And see, that's what verses 25 through 27 are all about. Read them again. Verse 25, "I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time." It was a lot of home people, okay? "When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon," not in Israel, not one of us. "And there were many in Israel with leprosy or skin disorders in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian, not one of us." They were outsiders. And the message then is when insiders try to restrict God's grace for themselves, they cut themselves off from that very grace. Uh-oh. Well, it set off the predictable firestorm. It was a very short trip. Notice verse 22. All spoke well of him. They were so proud of him. And then we get to verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious. when they heard this. They got up. They drove him out of the town. They took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built to throw him down the cliff. And we should learn from this. It's kind of a reminder. At the beginning of the week, they sang Hosanna. At the end of the week, they were yelling, what? Crucify him. People are fickle. How easily it turns. And Jesus' words, if people treated Jesus in this way, what makes us think we should receive better? In fact, theologians believe that Luke recorded this specifically for the purpose of helping us to understand what would happen in Holy Week, but also what would happen to the church as he recorded it in Acts. The interesting thing is verse 30. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. They had a gang, a posse together going to throw him off the cliff. And Scripture says he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Can't wait to get to heaven and find out how that went down. You see, I think we forget, just as the world forgets, we forget who we're dealing with here. This is the Son of God. This fully God, fully man. And we forget that. The holy, mighty, awesome God that we serve. So what's the end of the story with the Christian college deal? The congregation that night was so steamed and outraged, they left the service muttering blasphemy. Word spread around campus about what had happened, and the next night, the religious students stayed away. But the tax collectors and the sinners drew near. The place was packed out with fraternity boys and people that just really never really thought of themselves as religious and probably didn't come there really to hear the gospel. They just heard the religious kids were upset, so they wanted to go see what was happening. It must be fun. If the religious kids think it's a bad scene, it must be fun. So they showed up. And that night, the preacher chose to preach on forgiveness. And when it was done, he engaged the congregation kind of in this dialogue. From all accounts, it was quite lively. And at one point, a student in the audience, intrigued but skeptical, said to the pastor, I heard what you said tonight. And he was sincere. I heard what you said tonight, but how can a person know? How can they really know that they are forgiven? And the speaker looked directly at the questioner and he said firmly, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you can be forgiven. Right. I understand that, responded the student. But I heard you say that, but my question is, how can you really know that for a fact? And the speaker said, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. I don't think you really caught my question, preacher. My question is, I want to know how you can really know. I mean, for sure, 100% ironclad that you're forgiven. For the third time, that should ring a bell. For the third time, he looked at him straight in the eye and he said, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you can be forgiven. It was then that something electric happened in the room. The word took hold in a way beyond understanding. And this student, this outsider, this one who probably never would have darkened the door of the church, sat down knowing in his heart that in the name of Jesus, he could be forgiven. The message and the miracles of Jesus are at our disposal. Not just for our benefit, but that the world may come to know the God that's revealed in Scripture, that the world may come to know the God that we serve, the God who freely offers forgiveness to all who would ask and receive it, not just the church folks. Let's pray together. Dear Father, it's a tough message, and if we read it closely, we understand why the church people were so upset with Jesus. And if we're honest, we'll admit that we kind of do the same things at times. Forgive us when we're so arrogant, when we're so prideful, that we think that Jesus just died for us and our friends and the people that look like us and talk like us. God, help us to be humbled by the awesome message that he offers forgiveness to all who would accept and receive it. Father, help us to be the messengers of that kind of awesome gospel. The good news of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Touch our hearts. Forgive us. And Father, help us to walk from this place renewed, recharged, re-energized to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Not to the people that already know it, but to the people that need to hear it. And we trust you to point them out to us as we go. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning I invite you, if you do not know the Jesus that I've shared with you this morning, if you have not received forgiveness by grace through Jesus Christ and his atonement for you, if you are there and you say, I don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, I'd love to share with you how you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. If you're here and you are a believer, but you've made the mistake that many of us have, and sometimes just getting in our little circle and never really being used by God to reach beyond our immediate influence, circle of influence. If that describes you, talk with God about it this morning. Work it out with him. Let him forgive you. Let him re-energize you and recharge you as you go. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this body, I strongly recommend it. It's a good group of people. We're not perfect, but we're trying to serve the Lord here in this place and beyond, out into the community. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to speak with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
In my heart.
after benediction response, I invite you to turn to one another, greet our guest, welcome and encourage one another. I also want to give you a heads up. Next Sunday morning, we begin a series entitled The Way, which is our Lenten journey. Believe it or not, a week from Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Comes quickly this year. Yeah, Easter's the last week in March. So we'll begin our Lenten journey and we'll be walking through and seeing some really neat things and discovering some neat things about Jesus and his public ministry as he journeyed on the way to the cross. So keep that in mind. Invite people to come be with you as we begin in worship with The Way beginning next Sunday morning. Okay, let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, as we go, Father, we pray that we would be encouraged, that you would lead us, and that we would be receptive to your leading. Father, we pray that we'd be used by you in a way that we could never imagine as we turn our lives over to you completely, trusting you to guide our steps and to guide our thoughts and to direct our words as we encounter people that need to know Jesus. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.